and Son authors Ross and Ryan Poor are here to talk about their new novel, The Blood Doctrine, that addresses homophobia and the Mormon Church. Hi, Ross and Ryan.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
Tell us about your book, The Blood Doctrine.
The book, it takes a look at the LDS Church action in Proposition 8 and their involvement in that whole program down in California that took away the rights of individuals to marry in California, and those rights were guaranteed under the California Constitution. That was a concern because they were tax exempt and they raised $20 to $30 million in that effort. And the book looks at the issues of how an individual would do what he did in this book and why that came about as the teachings of his religion. Why would he murder somebody? And so
that individual is a Mormon missionary who is on a mission in Salt Lake City, Utah, which is the home of the LDS Church. So we figured what better way to get this issue out and basically just shove it in their face and say, we don't agree with the leadership of the LDS Church. We're using this as a vehicle to get that message out.
As two heterosexual men, what was your inspiration for writing it?
Initially, I had an idea for a story around a Mormon missionary who would murder in the name of his religion. But when Proposition 8 came up in California and the LDS Church's involvement in the bill, the passing of the bill, that really struck a chord. I took that idea and merged the two together, pushed that out into the media even further. And I don't know if the LDS Church will respond to this or not, but I just want to keep it out there and hopefully bring up more discussion.
And see, in the church conference 2 years ago in October, one of the president of the 12 Apostles, Boyd Packer, made comments in conference that homosexuality was evil and unnatural, that homosexuals were not created by God, that it was a self-choice, and that they could never basically have all the privileges of the church, which means to dwell in the presence of God. And so when you look at the doctrine of blood atonement, in general Christian theology, Christ died for our sins. But in the period of 1850s and 60s in Salt Lake City, the church practice did not believe that. They believed there were certain sins that you could commit that you had to have your own blood shed. So this young missionary takes this person's life as an atonement so that this person can dwell in the presence of God because he has the sin of being homosexual.
What would you like to accomplish with this book?
I have an abiding faith in people, in the American society, and I think people need to know what they're dealing with on this issue. I think when it's organization, which a church is a corporation, and the LDS Church is a very wealthy corporation, when they can go in to a state where individuals have guaranteed rights under that constitution and eliminate those rights under a tax-free status, they can take any of our rights. And so people need to be aware of that, and they need to be alerted to that, and that this is a fight that is difficult and needs to be ongoing, and you need to be vigilant about it. I've learned a lot about this since I got into this. I had no idea they spent the kind of money they spent. You know, they had 35,000 people every Saturday on the streets in California rallying in favor of Proposition 8, take away people's rights. And the bottom line was, how did the fact that those people have that right damage them as an organization? You know, if they can do that, they can do anything.
What I would like to accomplish with the book, on another note, is the story of the Blood Doctrine is, I just want to help keep the dialogue going about these civil rights. I know we're not going to completely change the minds of everyone, but if we can make people think, I think we've done our job.
What is your personal commitment to LGBT civil rights?
Well, you know, I come from a family where I have a brother who is gay. I have a nephew who is gay. I have a cousin who is gay. I have a cousin who is transgender. My sister is the president of PFLAG in Salt Lake City. So my commitment is to make sure they have the same rights as everyone else. You know, in Utah, the state legislature struck down an effort to just have the right down to is the church didn't want to be in compliance with those issues. They didn't want to have to follow that guideline and that law. I think that if anybody's rights are taken away, my individual rights are also diminished.
What was your reaction to Prop 8 and DOMA finally reaching the U.S. Supreme Court?
I felt that Prop 8 would be overturned and that all the efforts would be irrelevant in terms of the church's action. And so I was excited about it. I don't think it's going to change the discussion nationally. There are things that are going to happen incrementally. The thing that's exciting is to see the reaction that occurred. And I think there was thoughtful dialogue. I don't think it will end anything. I think it will continue. But I think there have been some gains made that will benefit people.
LGBTQ teens are 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than the heterosexual peers, and we continue to have numerous teens taking their own lives after facing bullying incidents. What advice would you have for these kids?
I've noticed in some research that I was looking at last night, in some cases it's 8 times more likely to attempt suicide. I attended a PFLAG meeting in Salt Lake City last night with my sister and others, and I asked them what they would recommend that we talk about with these teens. And I think the message was, first of all, if mom and dad are involved in their life in a positive way, that's going to be huge and have a major impact on their self-esteem and their survival and their quality of life. Absent that, these kids need to know there's hope, and they need to contact a local or national or regional PFLAG organization that can provide them support to get them through the tougher times that they're dealing with, because it's very traumatic. I was a high school principal, and I know, you know, what kids can go through with bullying. People don't understand unless they've seen it, if you feel that everybody's against you. But the key is to get support and get help. And PFLAG can provide that, and there are other organizations that can, and I think that's what I would recommend.
Ryan, do you have anything to add to that?
Stay strong. Talk about your situation with someone you trust.
As I walked into that PFLAG meeting last night, it was very obvious to me that there was a total atmosphere of love in that room. It was a very warm, supporting environment. And if students got into that environment, those that are on their own or living on the streets or contemplating scary actions, they would find really genuine support.
How can people get information about the Blood Doctrine?
The best place for information is our website. It's theblooddoctrine.com. Some great references.
The book really gave me a lot of insight to things so that I felt a little bit more savvy about dealing with the Mormon Church.
That's why we put the glossary in the book. You don't normally have a glossary in a novel, but there's terminology used in the book that's LDS-based, and people, you know, they need to understand what it was about. That's why we did that.
Is there a question you wish people would ask you?
It's interesting. We had a book signing, and one question came up in the book signing that kind of caught us off guard. Is the Blood Doctrine an anti-Mormon book? Because that seems to be a big deal in Utah. Generally, when you write something about the church, if it questions their history or practice, then it becomes an anti-Mormon book. And in our mind, that would be a question I would like people to ask, because I would like to be able to respond to that. It wasn't written as an anti-Mormon book. The history is accurate. It's not my history, it's the church history. And we just relate it in a way that ties it to a current issue in society. I like to see it as a book that's in favor of the rights of all people. But it's a civil rights book more than it is an anti-Mormon book. Because I have great respect for the Mormon people and good things they do. Our question in this book is with some of the leadership and the directors of the church.
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through difficult times?
It dawned on me one day when we were writing this, and I was looking at the situation of Proposition 8, and I was discouraged by the fact the church could come in and do what they did. And it dawned on me that the actions of the church or any organization that opposes the rights of individuals will really be irrelevant. And what I mean by that is they're on the wrong side of history. And so I live with the belief, knowing that by being on the wrong side of history, that our civil rights movements have shown that dignity and respect and equality will always prevail over hate and narrow-mindedness and bigotry. And So that's something that keeps me going every day.